In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A king gives a wedding feast for his son and sends out servants to invite those on his guest list. But those who are first invited refuse to heed the invitation and will not come to the feast. So the king tries a second time. He sends out more servants to invite those on his guest list. Maybe they didn't understand the invitation the first time around. He tells his servants to make sure they understand by letting them know that all the preparations for the feast are done. They need only come and enjoy the feast. But once again, those invited refuse to heed the invitation. Some simply ignore the king's servants and go about their business. They have more important things to do and cannot afford to stop what they're doing to attend the king's feast. Still others are greatly annoyed that the king would send out more servants. He should have gotten the point the first time. They want nothing to do with his feast. And to make that vividly clear this time, they treat his servants shamefully and even kill them. This incites the king's anger. And he responds by destroying those murderers and burning their city. But still, the king wants guests for the feast he has prepared for his son. So he sends his servants out again, this time with the order to invite anyone they can find. There is no discrimination. The good and the bad are invited. Any breathing body, completely without merit, is welcome. The good and the bad, the bad including even winos, drug addicts, pimps, crazy people, filthy, smelly people are all welcome. Go, invite them all, the king says. But then, something amazing happens. After the servants do the king's bidding, and they go invite everyone, the good and the bad, and the king's hall is full, the king comes in and is surprised. For there, in the midst of all those whom have been invited to his feast, someone has come refusing to wear the proper wedding garment. The king has him bound hand and foot and tossed into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, into eternal solitary pain and sadness. He is sent to hell. For many are called, but few are chosen. There are two warnings in our Lord's parable. The first is that if you reject the invitation, you will be destroyed. The second is that even if you accept the invitation but refuse to wear the proper wedding garment, you will be sent to hell. The invitation comes from God. It is His grace. He invites the good and the bad to be clean and holy in Him, to be forgiven and welcomed as honored guests. He invites everyone, but not everyone is permitted to the feast. The first warning is obvious, isn't it? You reject the king's invitation, you are destroyed, no longer permitted into his kingdom. But this second warning is not so obvious. In fact, it is rather chilling. For it warns that simply accepting the king's invitation is not enough. Without the proper wedding garment, acceptance of the invitation does not get you a place at the feast. This is a warning to all those who claim to be Christian, but in reality are not. They are those who once were cleansed by God and clothed by Him in the proper wedding garment. They are those who received His grace and had His holy divine name placed upon them at holy baptism, only to later reject that grace and allow their wedding garment to become soiled, tattered, and torn. They thought they were in. They thought that once they had received God's grace, their place at the feast was secure. They thought that the wedding garment they received would remain pure and undefiled all on its own. They didn't realize that the wedding garment was in constant need of cleansing. They were wrong. Dead wrong. See, friends, Holy Scripture does not teach once saved, always saved. You can fall from grace. You can abandon the faith. You can trade in the wedding garment once received for your own clothing. This is the most important of the two warnings from our Lord in His parable this morning. He desires that all those whom He once claimed as His own remain His. So He warns them against the delusion of self-security, imploring them to be vitally sure that they remain in His grace, that they see to it that the wedding garment they received remains pure and undefiled. The question, of course, is, how do they do that? How do they keep their wedding garments clean? Fearing hell and desiring to secure for themselves a place at the king's feast, many men have often thought that the way to hold on to grace, to make baptism effective, was the performance of good works. We've come to Christ by grace, they reasoned, but if we stop doing good works, we will lose that grace and be cast out. Good works, therefore, they conclude, are the way to remain in God's favor and keep the wedding garment clean. That is false. It is a subtle but important error. Grace that has to be earned or kept is not grace. Consider how you speak to your own children. You do not tell them that you love them as long as they behave, or that you brought them into this world for free, but now they must prove worthy of your love. You tell them that you love them no matter what. That is far more true of your Heavenly Father than it is of you. His love is not conditional. He loves you no matter what. Good works do please your Father in heaven, but they do not convince Him to love you or to keep on loving you. He needs no convincing. His love is perfect and without limit. It creates something out of nothing, for He causes rocks and beasts to sing His praise. He calls saints out of sinners. If you reject that love, you will be destroyed. That is the warning. How do you do this? You reject God's love when you stop hungering for His righteousness, because you are satisfied with your own self-righteousness. You do this when in your delusional insanity, you begin thinking you're good enough just as you are. You come to church longing for something more, something beyond the same old, something beyond that worn-out message of sin and grace. Yeah, I know. I'm a sinner who deserves God's wrath and punishment, but Jesus has died for me. Got it. Can we move on to something more? Can we move on beyond that? Tell me something I don't know. Give me something more. Teach me some principles by which to live so that my life can be purpose-driven and filled with blessings. For Pete's sake, preacher, I could write your sermons for you. You say the same thing week in and week out. Come on, get to work and come up with something new and relevant. This sin and grace, law and gospel format is getting rather tiresome. Dear friends in Christ, repent. For the truth is that we've all had thoughts like these. We've all been guilty to one degree or another of wanting more, of being bored with the same old, same old. We've all been guilty to one degree or another of thinking we've got this whole Christian thing licked, of thinking that we can move beyond being confronted with our sins and reminded of the cross of Jesus Christ. We've all been guilty to one degree or another of spurning the means of grace by failing to realize their power and by just going through the motions. Oh yes, dear Christian, repent. For that with which you have often become bored and don't think you need is the very thing you do need. You need to be constantly reminded of your sins and exhorted to repent of them, for the old Adam in you never tires of trying to convince you that you've made it. You need to be constantly reminded of your desperate need for Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose for you. For the old Adam in you never tires of trying to convince you that your good works are enough and that you don't need a Savior. For this reason, the King continues to send out His servants with the same old, worn out, but ever fresh and new message. It is His message, not theirs. It is an invitation to receive His grace and thus be clothed in the proper wedding garment of His Son's perfect righteousness and holiness. You see, the King knows that you cannot keep your wedding garment clean on your own. So, in His love, mercy, and grace, He invites you to come and have it cleaned by Him. Week after week, the King invites you into His holy house to have your wedding garment cleansed in the blood of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That's why the message cannot be changed or altered in the least. There is only one way to clean your wedding garments. There is only one cleaning detergent that can get out the stain of your sin, and that is the blood of Christ. And here's the divine irony in all of this. The more you realize how dirty you've made your wedding garment, the cleaner it becomes. True growth in the Christian faith, which is something that all Christians want and desire. They want to grow in their faith. They want to be better and more improved Christians all the time. But true growth in the Christian faith, dear friends, occurs only by realizing more and more how sinful you are and how desperately you need Christ. The greater your awareness of your sins, the greater your faith. Strong faith never says, "I am strong." Strong faith does not feel strong. It feels weak. When it feels weakest, when it is most dependent upon the grace of God, when it recognizes how frail it is, then it is strong. When you feel strong, you are deluded and easily misled. But faith, true faith, lives best on its knees, ears and mouth open to hear and receive the Word of God and the forgiveness of sins. Strong faith is not so given to praise as it is to confession. The devil seeks to drive you to despair by showing you your unworthiness. He thinks he can make you quit. But, as Luther said, he is God's devil. Awareness of that unworthiness is actually good for faith. It directs the believer to the One who is worthy, to the Lamb who was slain for the sin of the world, for the One who alone has fulfilled God's perfect holy law in your place. That law, God's holy law, serves the gospel. It requires and admonishes you to repent that you might believe and be saved. And so the King's message rings forth even again, once again today. And His message is, come now, you who long to be freed from your sins, to the table of your Lord. Come and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. For today, the marriage feast of the King's Son is set before you, a foretaste of that great and glorious feast to come when the King's Son returns in great glory on the last day. Come and receive the very body and blood of the King's Son that upon Golgotha's tree bore every sin, forgiving them all. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, is the voice of the prophet Isaiah and of all the prophets still ringing forth through the Lord. He is here, dear friends. This is where you may seek Him and find Him. For He is here in His body and blood for you. That receiving Him, the wedding garment given you at holy baptism, may be cleansed in His blood, making you a worthy guest at this feast and at the feast to come. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.